Now we ask Brother Frank. I am also greeting all of you in the precious name of the Lord. It's so nice that we can come together to hear God's word and to be blessed anew. We have greetings from many brethren from many countries, especially Brother and Dr. Mbie from the Congo. We have greetings from Johannesburg, from Cape Town, from Nairobi, and from half of the world. From Southeast Asia, where I just was now, and especially from Brother Wallström and from Brother Barrier, from all the brethren whom we know and who also minister with the word of the Lord. Today, many things could be reported of the trip to Indonesia and to Singapore and to Thailand and especially to Burma, today's Myanmar. It's just so wonderful when God opens new doors, new hearts in many churches, in a Baptist church, in a Bible school, and people were coming again from near and far to hear the word of the Lord. And for this, we are just so grateful. Then we have to extend greetings from all our brothers here into all the countries who are now listening to the word by internet, and especially our friends in Lima, Peru, who are concerned how things will go on in South America. We can say the Lord will have his way and all will be well. Jesus is the victor. Then Brother Manfred Scraps is sending regards to all of us, especially to Brother Rus. Yes, all are sending greetings. Then, today I would like to ask all who are here today for the first time, I would like to ask them that they stand up. We would like to welcome them in a special way. Yes. Shall I mention you by name? You all know that some think this should not be done so that the others do not come to know of who has come here. Be welcome in our midst. From the very first hour, from the very first day, we were joined together in the Lord and in the Spirit. God bless you in a special way. Amen. Yes, be welcome in the name of the Lord. Then we have here a sister, there a sister, there we have brothers and sisters. God bless you in our midst. God bless you. May God bless just all. God bless you. God bless all who are here today for the first time. May He bless us all and may He be with us. Then we have a very good news. I don't know whether you came to know about it. About 4 weeks ago, we prayed for our brother in Finland. I always forget the name. It's the father-in-law of our brother Rosenstock, and he had cancer, and he should go for an operation. And I must honestly say, I believed that God heals him. This was suddenly just so in me. And now we heard of Brother Friedrich that the man is completely healed and no operation must be done anymore. So wonderful. Blessed be the Lord. Don't look unbelieving. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The days of the Bible are here and will come to the total breakthrough. Then we have our precious sister here. She said, Brother Frank, I just can't live without the spiritual food. And when I asked her, tell me, how old are you? Only 96. Yes, only 96. So, precious sister, feel free in our midst, wherever you are sitting now, and all from near and far. Then, I would like to give an announcement here. God willing, and provided we are still on this earth, a brother phoned me about 10 days ago. He phoned me and he said, Brother Frank, I can't give the guarantee to anyone on earth that we are still on earth next year at this time. This we all can't say. God alone knows day and hour. But should the time continue, then in the coming year, we will make an Israel trip from the 8th to the 19th of May. Think about it. This is the only time during the year when I take a few days off to have fellowship with the brothers and sisters who go to Israel. And every evening we have our services there and all were blessed. Up to today, no one has returned from there not having been blessed. Then I would like to thank our dear family Maynard at this occasion that they allowed their daddy and you, your husband, to travel with me during many years. The Lord, of course, took our brother suddenly home, as we all know. But everywhere I'm meeting brothers who just say, we would have liked it when Brother Maynard would have also come with you. The Lord took him home. For us, not fully comprehensible. But who of us knows how the ways of the Lord are? And we just have to submit under it. Then I would like to ask our brothers and sisters from Marseille to sing us a song. If they didn't sing yet, most probably the brothers and sisters didn't sing yet, please come now to the front. We are glad that you can come. Just sing us a nice song, and then we will go into our word observation. And I hope that it doesn't happen to me like it happened to me last Sunday in Zurich. Last Sunday in Zurich, really, something happened to me which didn't happen to me yet. Please come quickly. The time is running. So, yes, come here. You're right. So,
Oh,
We could all tune in with our hearts. It's a well-known song in all the languages. Yes, on that day when the Lord calls His own, then we will praise Him in all the languages which exist on earth. Because He really redeemed His people coming from all nations and languages. And all the redeemed will praise Him. I mentioned Zurich. Last Sunday, a brother came to me. He was for the first time in a meeting. And I was just speaking with a brother from Pakistan. And he comes to me and he says, "But you have preached for too long." And I was thinking by myself, I was asking him, "Are you here today for the first time?" He said, "Yes, but nevertheless, you have preached too long." And I said, "But it is important to hear God's word. And the people are coming from near and far to hear the word." And he said, "Yes, that's all right. But didn't you hear how the people said all over, 'Amen and Amen'?" And yet, you continued to preach.
Yes.
And I was thinking by myself, and this is wonderful. And then, in closing, I said to him, their amen meant that I should continue to preach and not that I should stop. This was just now for a refreshment. Just so nice that God's word means much to us. We are not looking onto the watch. We are thanking God that we can come together to hear His true and forever remaining word. And last Sunday in Zurich, we spoke about that we shall have our eyes fixed upon the goal and not looking onto the circumstances and difficulties. The reason for this subject was a little bookmark in the Hilton Hotel in Singapore on my stopover. And there, here it says, I'm reading, obstacles are the terrifying things you see when you take your eyes off the goal. When you take your eyes off the goal and when you look onto the circumstances, then you get afraid. And therefore, let our eyes be focused on the goal. We also remembered Peter. When the Lord called him, he stepped out of the boat and he walked upon the water without any problems. And when he looked onto the waves, then it went down. It went down. So, looking onto the Lord, then we walk. And then we walk safely. Looking on circumstances, then it goes down. And yet, even then, we see that the Lord was present and ready, stretching forth His hand and pulling Him up, and He could walk again. So, putting the trust in the Lord. And when we have Him as our goal, then He will be present, stretching out His hand, not letting us go down, but pulling us up again, so that we can happily walk on our way. Hebrews chapter 10, here we have the wonderful thoughts pertaining to promise, patience, and faith. And we heard already in the word of introduction, John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that you are there where I am also. Worldwide, this is our subject, the return of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of Bible prophecy in our time. The promises of God are given that we believe them and that we see them in their fulfillment. Promises which were given to Israel are coming to fulfillment with Israel. Promises which were given to the church are coming to fulfillment in the church. And predictions, the situations on earth, are coming to fulfillment. And be it now the political circumstances or the religious circumstances, we are living in the end time. and everything is really taking its course, and everything is pointing towards that the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is very near. The call goes forth, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." And then it's written in verse 10, "Those who were ready went in to the marriage supper, and the door was closed." Our task is to bring the last message to the nations, to let the last call sound forth. We have no time to just listen to music, to sing songs, creating an atmosphere, but to hear God's holy word. And I believe that the Lord also today will speak to us. What I just said now reminds me, not here, not what is being done here, everything what happens here is done for the glory of God, but in Singapore, I indeed experienced in a little meeting something where one really took the guitar, making an atmosphere, and where the guitar player was saying some babblings to the audience so that they should repeat them after him. And this should then be speaking in tongues. You all know what came after this game. And after that, I didn't see anyone anymore. The people were gone. It must just be this way, that God's word is being preached in truth, that everything man-made is being exposed, that we do not tolerate anything anymore. We have the attitude, we have the conviction, as Paul had it in Galatians 1, verse 10. "If we yet wish to please men, we are not even the servants of Christ. Then we can remain at home." In Hebrews chapter 10, we read from verse 6. I mean 36. Hebrews 10 from verse 36. "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Here we have a summary of that, what shall happen with us, what will happen with us. We have need of patience, so that after doing the will of God, we might receive the promise. First, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. It doesn't make sense to wait for any fulfillment without letting oneself being placed into the will of God. We must be in agreement with God and His Word to experience the fulfillment of what God promised. And we must believe, and we must add to our belief obedience, so that we do not walk besides the shoes, but that we really walk in the footprints of our Lord. Then it says here, in verse 37, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry." He will return. He will return very soon, and therefore he reveals unto us now his will. He reveals us his word. He reveals us the promises which He has given unto us for this time, so that we are found in the fulfillment and having part in it. And we are now already coming to the point, we are not judging anyone, also not a denomination, also not the 347 Christian churches which are now joined in the World Council of Churches. They all have the right to exist. Everything what is on earth may be there. But among all these churches and fellowships, God's word is indeed being interpreted into hundreds of different ways. And every denomination claims to believe the right way and to teach correctly and to be right. And therefore, we are forced to take the word of God as our counsel. The pattern is not the Catholic Church, not the Lutheran Church, also not the Baptist and Methodists and Pentecostal churches. The pattern is the early church. That is the biblical pattern. And therefore, we must return to the beginning. If we want to make it clear now, in the World Council of Churches, everything is being concentrated, everything is united. Yes, but under whom? Under whom it is being united? Jesus Christ is the head of His church. He gave His blood and life for us as the Son of God, for all sons and daughters of God. He redeemed us. We are His possession. Although we belong or belonged to all the different churches, yet from God's viewpoint, we are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, a part of the church of the firstborn, who really received the word as the divine seed, and who came forth unto a new life by renewing and by the new birth by the Holy Spirit. And so, we have received the direct connection to God, not to a denomination, but to God. And we also do not follow any man, but we follow the Lord who called us and who said, "Follow me." Now, in the next verse, verse 38, it's written, "Now, the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." To this, I would like to read you from Habakkuk, chapter 2. Here, the prophet spoke out some words which remind us on the text in Hebrews, Habakkuk, chapter 2, from verse 3. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." So, when God gives promises, and when our faith is anchored in these promises, regardless of how long it might take. The moment must come. The moment will come in which the promise which God gave will come to fulfillment. Here it's written, for an appointed time point. And the appointed time is always that time when the time is fulfilled. Galatians 4, verse 4. When the time was fulfilled. And here we read once again, and is hastening towards the goal. We already mentioned about the goal. And Paul, really, he spoke about the goal. Namely, that people who believe, they have a goal. They know in whom they believe. They know on which way they are walking. And they know where they will end up, where they will arrive. And then, in verse 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And so, we read it also in Hebrews, in chapter 10, in the last verse. Hebrews 10, last verse. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. And then the man of God continues and writes in chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When God promised it, then they must come. Then they will be fulfilled. The word fits here also from Hebrews, chapter 11, from verse 24. The man of God in the Old Testament, who had a personal relationship with God, they left us an example what one does when God gives a promise and when he also fulfills it then. Hebrews 11 from verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. About this, one doesn't have to say much. A man who has the choice to either suffer reproach with the people of God or to be of high reputation in the king's house, he makes the decision. In the next verse, verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And then comes the reason. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. How is it with you at your workplace? How is it in your everyday life? We all have to suffer reproach. There is no child of God who gets away just like that. There is no child of God which can remain anonymous, where the colleagues never come to know who and what we are. This is impossible. We don't have to say much. They will come and ask. They will ask, especially the youth. They most certainly will be asked whether they have seen the newest movie. Yes. And why they are dressed reasonably. They will be asked. And then the reproach starts. Blessed are we when we have our eyes on Him who called us, keeping the heavenly reward in focus, not looking or hearing unto the reproach, but unto the Lord who has called us with an high calling to behold His glory. And it continues in the next verse, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. We could read on. Then he offered the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that the destroying angel should not kill the firstborn of the Israelites. Brothers and sisters, precious friends, here is a great lesson for all of us. Firstly, that we heard the call of the Lord. Moses knew to what he was called for. He knew on his inside, also before the time, that a commission is there for him, which he will and must carry out. And be honest, also we know, in our hearts, we know that we are ordained to be with God throughout all eternity. And that the things which the Lord says to us through His messengers who carry His word, that we believe them. And here's the point. As all the prophets were despised, not because they were criminals, but because of the word which they carried as the precious seed. Therefore, Jerusalem didn't kill the priests, not the scribes, but the prophets, the carriers of the word of God, of which our Lord said, as written in Psalm 82, ye are gods. It is truly the divine substance of the word which has fallen into the hearts of these men. In the same way, the word, the divine substance, has fallen into our hearts. And we believe, as the scripture has said. Also we must look unto Him in all circumstances. We must look unto Him who is invisible, as we would see Him. We know who gave us the promise. Paul writes in Romans, in chapter 4, about Abraham, who has become the father of us all, who we believe, who we are of faith. Here especially, the verses in chapter 4, Romans 4, from verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What was it? A promise which God gives has such a certainty in itself, there one doesn't need to add anything. God's word is so sure that a man who receives the word of God in himself, that he gets also the assurance by the Spirit of God to be a child of God. And then getting the access to the promises, to the blessings, to all what God has prepared for us in Christ. We have some verses which could be read here. We read them many times. For instance, once again, in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. This is what God said, and so it has become unto this very day. God's promises do not falter. Jesus has sealed them with his blood. As a German song goes, with the enduring, or about the persevering, we read in Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, from verse 4. In Hebrews, we were reading that we should persevere. Romans 5, from verse 4. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Brothers and sisters, we need the quickening by the Holy Spirit. There's just no way around it. And to this, I would like to read now the scriptures which pertain to our Lord and which, of course, pertain also to us. In Matthew chapter 3, we have the report of that, what happened with our Lord and Redeemer. But already before John the Baptist announced what should happen with us. Matthew chapter 3, from verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then comes the baptism of our Redeemer. And then comes the Spirit baptism. And then we have the comparison how the sequence should be also with us. Becoming a believer, fulfilling all righteousness, walking the way of obedience, and then getting the confirmation by God that we have become his possession. Brothers and sisters, we must come to this point where we receive the enduring with the power from on high. Let us be honest. If we make the remark here, that we cannot compare us with any denomination, but that our example, that our pattern is the early church, which was endued with the power from on high, in which were the gifts of the Spirit and the ministries. Just be honest. If the gift of prophecy is not here, then we don't hear any prophecy. Is the gift of speaking in tongues not here, then we don't hear any speaking in tongues. Is the gift of interpreting not here, then we don't hear any interpretation. And one could continue. And one could hang the 9 gifts of the Spirit into the air. If it is then written of the gift of healing, not just in general, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, but of the gift of healing, just as the person which is baptized in the Spirit and where the Spirit of God can use the gift of prophecy, so the same Spirit of God can work. And inasmuch as the gift of healing was given out, he can speak out the healing by faith. Just like this, that the Spirit of God must work all things in all. It's not enough, just as I said now, just to make the comparison and to say we have the Holy Scripture as our pattern. We must get serious with it. We must just say, beloved Lord, in this way we cannot continue. We need the enduing with the power from on high, so that the Spirit of God can be at work, and so that the several members are being used as it is pleasing to God. And then the church will come back into its original condition. You all know, with Brother Branham, it was really like this. When he saw a vision for the person which was standing before him, and when he saw the person healed, then it was not so important whether it was cancer, or blind, or deaf, or dumb. It was not important anymore. As soon as he saw the person healed in the vision, then was of course fulfilled what is written in the Gospel of John, in chapter 5, in verse 19 and 20. The Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do. The Son doeth likewise. So, but we, who we are not so much gifted and who do not have this ministry, leave alone to imitate it. This we don't want to do. We want a genuine outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We want to have genuine gifts of the Spirit. And then comes the fulfillment. He who hungers and thirsts, he shall be filled. Was it not the main promise which God gave already to the church in the Old Testament? I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. With this, all nations were meant. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, they were gathered from 17 different nations. And then came the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And behold, the Spirit was at work. He gave utterance. The mighty deeds of God were proclaimed. And then was the transition to the church, to the local church, in all the various cities. To me, the Lord truly said, whether you believe it or not, but on the 2nd of April, 1962, before the dawning of a new day, he said, do not establish local churches. And this I'm not doing. Here it is enough for the Lord to call a church together from all languages to reveal His word unto us, to let us know His will, until we have become one heart and one soul. And then waiting for, as it was at the beginning, waiting that God pours out His Spirit. I repeat myself. This was the main promise in the prophet Joel. In the last days, says God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. And he who reads Acts 2 from verse 16, he will find out that Peter doesn't give his own answer, but he says, here is fulfilled what God spoke through the prophet Joel. In the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So, not just teaching, not just introduction into the Word of God, introduction into the will of God. After doing the will of God, and the will of God is the complete restoration of all that what was at the beginning. And in this connection, it's also written, the word, in the book of Acts, in chapter 3, and here, it's also reference made to our Lord, who had to be prophet, because Moses said, a prophet like unto me, God will raise up unto you from among your brethren. He had to be son of man, son of God, son of David, son of Abraham, king, priest, and prophet. He had to become mediator. He must be advocate. He must be all in all. This was announced in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, it becomes reality. Let me just read it. As it is written here, in Acts chapter 3, from verse 18, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Yes. Now the question. How will it be now? God will let everything come to fulfillment just as he had said it through the mouth of his servants and prophets. At that time, it referred to our Lord and Redeemer, namely, that his anointed should suffer. Repent therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Before, we were reading in the Gospel of John that the Lord went to prepare a place and that he will return again. And here it is written that our sins may be forgiven, that we should repent, that we should be converted, and so that he then will send the Christ. In verse 19, so that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. First the time of refreshing, first the time of restoration, and only then he can return to take his prepared and perfected bright church into his glory. Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Brothers and sisters, I'm reading from the New Testament. I'm reading from the book of Acts, the second sermon of Peter, as one could say here. And here, he gives an overall view of that, what was then, of that, what took place then, and of what now must take place before our Lord can return to take his own into glory. Everything of all what he has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. The counsel of God was not revealed to the priests, not to the scribes, not to the Pharisees, not to the Sadducees. The word always comes to the prophet. And whoever reads on in the New Testament, he knows very well what Paul has written to the Ephesians. Let us read on, verse 22, in Acts chapter 3. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, in Deuteronomy 18, from verse 15 to 19, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. We are just now coming to Revelation chapter 1. Let us read on in verse 29. Oh, 28. Where are we? Yes. We were reading 22. Now we read verse 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. The matter is very serious. And when we go to Revelation chapter 1, there we see our Lord walking amidst the seven golden lampstands as Son of Man. I don't know whether all are interested in this and also understand it somehow. The difference. Here he is Son of God. He gives his life for all the sons and daughters of God. Then he is Son of David to be king and to sit then onto the throne of his glory. And then he is Son of Man. As Son of Man, he is prophet. Because God said, a prophet like unto me, the Lord will raise up unto you from among your brethren. As the heir of God, as the heir of the world, he is the son of Abraham, and we are heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Scripture was written in a divine order. One just has to find the access to this divine order, which can really only be revealed by the Spirit. And as we said many times, if one would close down all the Bible seminars and all Bible schools and all the theological faculties, then no damage would be done to the world. Just the contrary. Then it would be a great help for the world. Then people would not be led astray by all the interpretations of the scriptures, but would hear to that what God has said in his word. And when Paul, for instance, writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 1, let a man so consider us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What do you expect from a servant of God? That he staggers from this side to the other? No! Jesus asked himself, whom did you want to see? A reed shaken with the wind? No, I say unto you, more than a prophet. He was that prophet who made history in the plan of salvation, who joined Old and New Testament together. Then, at the beginning of the New Testament, our brothers, just go to Acts 1. Peter took the word and set everything in order again. Judas dropped out, and he says, it is written in the Psalms, his habitation shall become desolate, and another one shall take his office. Brothers and sisters, from the very first day on, the divine order of the church was given. Men were under the leading of the Holy Spirit to set everything biblically, namely according to that, what was prophesied before. They always knew what to do and what to say from himself. That fisherman knew nothing at all. What did Peter know of that? What is written somewhere in the Psalms? And if he would have read the Psalms, then by himself he would not have known which word refers here and which word must be applied here. Brothers and sisters, this only the Holy Ghost can do. This no man can do. And if you then hear once again John, he was asked, who are you? We must give an answer to them who sent us. And then the answer came, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The scribes would say, no one gives testimony of himself. But when scripture is fulfilled, when that is fulfilled, what God promised, then we do not deal anymore with the man who comes on the scene. He's just the voice of him who cries in the wilderness. The Lord always used the lips of men. And if we want to say it here very clearly, that also Brother Branham knew exactly which promise pertains to him. Of course, it must be revealed. We can speak for days with people, and to whom God does not open the understanding for the scripture, he doesn't see it. He cannot see it. This is how God made it, that everything is built upon revelation. And that not one will teach the other one, but all will be taught by God and will be laid into the word. Long enough, it was written in Malachi 3 verse 1, behold, I send my messenger before my face. But in the same way it is written that God would send a prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And he who reads from verse 19 in Malachi 3, he can read it. The day will come, and it will burn as an oven. And then all the proud and all who do wickedly, they shall be as stubble, and the day of the Lord that comes will burn them up. So we must give heed now. What are we? Are we wheat? Or what are we? If we are wheat, then we will, before the day of the Lord comes, before the sun turns into darkness and the moon into blood, we will hear and believe the word of promise for this time. And we will experience it in its fulfillment. Please receive it as a great gift of God. That the Lord can speak in such a clear way to us through his word and revealing his word to us by the Holy Spirit. Because everything what comes from God comes only by revelation. If we then read also in Revelation chapter 1, then we find out that there is a prophetic part. There is the teaching part, for the church, also for the local church, how everything should be. And there is the prophetic part of all that, what would come to pass. In Revelation chapter 1, in the first verses, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. God can do this in the decisive hour. The supernatural takes place here on earth. In the decisive hour of the plan of salvation, the heaven comes down and God reveals his whole plan of salvation and lets us having part in it. Continues. Verse 2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. I'm asking, if we would go today with this word from Bible school to Bible school, from seminar to seminar, and would say, please, how is it with this scripture? The best what could happen would be that they shake their shoulders, or that they shake their heads, or that they would say, this we don't know. And brothers and sisters, we may confess that God has given us grace, that we received access, and we found out that what the Lord revealed to John by sending his angel was given for all the servants of God. Because this is written in the plural, to show unto his servants what must shortly come to pass. God uses one servant so that to all servants the word and will of God is revealed. And that's how it happened in the past. And so it happened through the ministry of John, of Brother Branham. As we said many times, and it stays that way, we don't glorify any man, but we will also not bypass what God promised and what he has done in our time and what he's still doing. And then it could happen that people really also within the message point back to that what took place 40 years ago. Now on the 24th of December, it will be 40 years since Brother Branham was taken home. And they're looking back and looking back and did not understand what God has done since that time, after he called his servant home. And now we come to the point. One may not stop. Did the disciples stop at the ministry of John the Baptist? No. All who received and accepted the ministry of John the Baptist, they followed the Lord and his ministry. And all who followed the Lord and his ministry, they were a part of the New Testament church when the moment came. It is just like a chain reaction. One must see the several stations, as one could say. One must see it and also experience it. Be honest, what good would it be for us if all could say, or would say, the Lord has sent a mighty prophet and he has done unbelievable things. The days of the apostles were really here. If we would not learn the lesson for us, understanding that the message, not the messenger, the message would forerun the second coming of Christ. And I tell you, every word is important. One must listen carefully. One must read carefully what is written in the Bible. And then we get access to the fulfillment. So, let us summarize it. Persevere, endure. Be patient, my beloved brothers. For after doing the will of God, ye shall reach the goal. Don't draw back. Be firm and steadfast. Be courageous. Don't look unto the circumstances, not unto the mocking. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Just imagine this. Brothers and sisters, we must come to the point where the Lord means everything to us, where His word means everything to us, where we really are joined with Him in such a way, whatever comes along the way, that we do not look onto the circumstances, not onto the difficulties, but as Paul has also written, and this word I'm going to read you now from Philippians, and having our eyes fixed on the goal, because we have a goal, we have a goal. If you don't say amen, then I can't stop. Yes, Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Here Paul writes from verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now the next verse. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Brothers and sisters, we are not living by our own conceit. We know everything is grace. Grace that we were saved. Grace that the blessings came upon us. Grace that we can believe, as the scripture has said. Grace that we may receive and believe all the promises which are written in the Word, claiming them personally for our lives, that we of a truth can believe as the scripture has said. And we are doing it like Moses did. We are looking unto Him who is invisible, as we would see Him. And the Lord gave the promise to be in our midst, to speak to us, and to bless us. And may it happen, what happened in the meetings in which our Lord was present when He walked this earth. The sinners received forgiveness. The sick were healed. The word was preached. Such meetings may God grant unto us by His grace. He will give them. Heaven and earth will be once more shaken, and God will do great things as he promised. We don't want to draw back, but we want to believe, being convinced that God will fulfill all promises in and with them who believe him with all their hearts. God has a people on earth. He has a church on earth. People who receive his word by faith, being in expectation to see the fulfillment of all the promises and also to experience them. I can just say, blessed and praised be the Lord our God, that he has pardoned us in such a way that we recognize his ways in this time. He let Moses know his ways and to the children of Israel his doings. He has let us know his ways and also his doings in this time. And as Abraham, we also want to do, namely to look unto him who gave the promise, and counting him faithful, being convinced he will fulfill everything what he promised. Let us persevere. Let us stand firm. Let us not look unto the circumstances, but unto the goal. And the goal will be reached very soon. Blessed and praised be the Lord our God. And now, we will together thank him with all our hearts. We stand up for it. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank thee with all our hearts for your grace and faithfulness. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you for all the connections that we may see how your plan of salvation is coming to fulfillment. That we have now revelation by your Spirit. May your will be done in our lives and in the church by your grace. Bless with us all your people among all nations and languages. Call them out. Reveal thyself. Baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Give a new mighty outpouring of thy Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, we glorify the power of your blood, of your word, and of your Spirit. And we thank thee for the victory of Calvary. Dear Lord, to you, the Almighty God, be the praise and honor and glory and adoration. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preis und Ehre. Ruhm und Anbetung.
Praise, honor and glory.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Preis sei Gott.
Oh, beloved Lord, you have spoken with us. We have heard your word. We have understood you. Oh, God. You, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are our God. You are our God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise, honor and glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Let us sing only believe. And may all believe for salvation, for healing, for every blessing. Receive it from God. Because in Jesus Christ, we were blessed with all blessings which are in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Believe it now. Receive it personally for you. Only believe. Our Lord said it, I go to prepare the place for you, and I return again to take you unto myself. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what has not come into any man's heart, this God prepared for those who love Him. And those who love Him love His Word. They believe His Word. And they love also one another. Thereby, the world will see that we are His disciples. Because when we have true love for one another and among each other. But please, not expecting it from the other one, that he shall love, but let everyone do his part. And then everything will be well with all of us. We pray now together, and I'm asking that our brother Didier comes, that he prays with us.